John chapter 13. Beginning with verse 31. Listen carefully to God's own word. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And then chapter 3 of the same gospel, beginning with verse 1, reading verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." May the Lord bless to us this reading and hearing of his own holy and infallible word. Amen. That you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I think it is appropriate that as we begin a new year, and in particular as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in beginning this new year, that we should consider this morning the newness of Christ. I want us to consider the newness of Christ in three ways. First, Christ announced a new message. The new message that Christ announced seems old at this point, as he announced the message in the Gospel of John some 2,000 years ago, a new message, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. I think something of the newness of that message may be grasped if we put ourselves in the place of those early disciples who first heard that message. They had heard the old message and had heard emphasized obedience to the law, sacrifices, and ritual cleanliness. So that when Jesus emphasized and offered this commandment that you love one another, it was falling, as it were, upon new and fresh ears. Jesus brought this new message. It wasn't new in the sense that the God of the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament. They're one God. For we read in the Old Testament as well, the first and the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And the second greatest commandment is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is Old Testament. Jesus simply re-emphasized and put into a new vessel, into a new form, this message so that it sounded as if it were new. The newness of it consisted in the fact that the Spirit of Christ Himself would begin to indwell God's people, the people who believed and wanted to live godly and holy lives. The Spirit of Christ would indwell them, enabling them to begin to manifest and to realize this new commandment, to love one another. You see, the prophet Ezekiel, the prophet of the new covenant, prophesied God speaking, saying, I will put my Spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone, and I will put within you a heart of flesh. And so the Spirit of Christ indwelling His people is that Spirit which enables you and gives to you and me the power which no one else had had before Christ, the power to love one another. The message is still new. The message is still new to literally thousands, literally millions of people, in the sense that there are millions who have never tried that message. I think of the hundreds of people that we came in contact with who had come under the influence of the gospel in India. I think of Purim, the night in a slum area in India with a tent packed, 500 people in a small tent, the odors wafting through the air that would almost take your breath away, but the sheer joy on the face of these children and the songs that they sang, because it was new and it was fresh and they had never heard this message before. I think of the Maranatha Church in Acapulco, Mexico, when those Mexican Christians gather to worship God. And you know that they are about a serious but a joyful business when they come into God's house. It is a new message. Haven't you said yourself, when you first heard the gospel of Christ, did you not say, I've never heard this before? I know when I became a Christian, I am sure somewhere in that Methodist church, somewhere in that Presbyterian church, somewhere in that Baptist church, I had heard the gospel, but it was all new and it was fresh and it was liberating and it set me free from the hatred that once characterized my life. It is new. It is a new commandment, and the commandment is that you love one another. This is still the most effective way that you and I have to convince others of the reality of Jesus Christ. Francis Schaeffer, the great philosopher theologian, once held a debate with an atheist in Chicago. And although they sparred intellectually, academically, and the Christian Schaeffer holding his own, when it was all over, the atheist confessed that he had never, never debated with a man who manifested such love and concern for him as the Christian. The most powerful weapon that you and I have to convince a world of the need of this new message is that you and I demonstrate that love toward one another. It is a new message Christ announced. It is a new life that Christ offered. We read that in John chapter 3, in John 3, where Nicodemus came to our Lord and Jesus instructed him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus offered a new life. Sometimes we hear people speak of a shadow, ethereal land called the land of new beginnings. Everybody at some time or other wants a new beginning, don't they? Don't you? A new beginning is built by God into the very structure of the universe. Every day you have a new beginning. Every week you have a new beginning. Every year you have a new beginning. But there is a new beginning that is a beginning that will make all the difference in your life. And that new beginning is the new life that Jesus Christ offers to you. Jesus spoke in Revelation. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." And Paul himself said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." You and I have a new life. And it is on the basis of that new life that we can begin to live the new message to love one another. Friend, if you do not love one another, then the question must naturally come, do you have the new life? And then Jesus produces a new character. We don't have time to read this morning the what is called the Beatitudes and the opening of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, but this is the new character that the new life is to produce in you and the new message is to bring to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I said we celebrate the newness of Christ today as we begin a new year. It is a new, Christ announced a new message. He offered a new life. And that new message and new life are to be demonstrated in a new character that is to be formed in you. And I want to ask you this morning, as Christ Himself offered to each of us that new life, do you have that newness of life that Christ offered? As you begin a new Lord's Day and a new year, can you say, I begin fresh today? The slate has been wiped clean of 1986, and I begin today, not in my power, but with Christ indwelling me. How can you demonstrate a new character? By Christ living in you. As Paul said, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and depth and length and breadth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasseth knowledge. Dear Christian, can you say this character is being formed in you? Do you have the new life? Then you come as we celebrate this sacrament together. Renew yourself and rededicate yourself to Christ as you begin the new year. If no one else in this sanctuary, in this hall today, gives himself to Christ for the new year, will you? Will you give yourself to Christ? If no one else did, would you? And will you? And will you? Let's pray.